I'm Liana, and I grew up going to a Catholic church. After I kind of moved away from the Catholic church, I was starting to look for how to rebuild my relationship with Jesus and to reconnect with him. In 2019, shortly after TIFFIN opened, I began attending. Immediately after going for the first time, I became more curious about Jesus and actually purchased my first Bible and looked forward to learning more and more about it each time I went. Pastor Zach talked about 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Immediately that verse struck me and just inspired me to live my life the way Jesus would want me to each and every day. And in fall of 2019, I trusted him for the first time. I could feel my eyes and heart opening up to all the way Jesus had worked in my life, and I wanted to go about and serve others in that same way. In 2024, I moved from TIFFIN to Bellevue, and shortly after started attending Fremont. I became involved serving on Sundays in order to become better connected with the church and to serve and just to give back. When I heard that we were launching a Sandusky campus, I immediately was interested and thought about becoming involved. I began praying to Jesus and asking him to guide me in the right direction and to call me where he wanted me to go. After praying on it more and more, I kept feeling compelled to go. And that is when I decided to become part of the launch team so I could be part of the Sandusky campus right away, help others get to know Jesus, and serve. Hearing about Jesus at the TIFFIN campus truly changed my life, and getting the opportunity to go to Sandusky and be part of a launch team is super exciting. I can only pray that by being part of the Sandusky launch team, I can help others discover truth and decide on Jesus.
God is using Liana and you to make an impact on people's lives, and we're excited about what God is doing. We're in a series called Bold Move. We're week 3, and we'll wrap that up next week. But if you're new, I've been saying this at the start of every one of these. If you're new here, if you're a guest, and you haven't been here to Grace before, this is a little different. This is more like a family talk where we're planning on our next moves as a church, where we believe God is leading us and how we're going to get there and all that. We've been talking about what God's been doing and our thankfulness and gratitude toward God, that he's grown us now to 3 campuses, soon to be 4 campuses, Lord willing, this year. And God has blessed in that all 3 of our campuses continue to grow. And we're excited about launching this 4th in Sandusky. And we have talked about some of the stats that we've had just over the last 5 years, 950 new families, 675 baptisms, and then over 1,700 people have indicated to us that they have become Christians through our ministry, and so we're excited about all that. We talked also about our history and where we came from. And as we grow as a church that started in 1939, we realize that it's the people of the church that it's always supported the ministries of Grace. But then every once in a while, there were certain times where we had to make more room for more people in our growth. And then typically what we would do is something called a capital campaign. That's what Bold Move is. It's the name of our newest capital campaign that will start next week. And again, we're doing that to build more space in our TIFFIN campus, which right now is in 3 campuses. It's our fastest three services. It's our fastest growing campus. And as we're realizing that, it looks like they're going to be full in about 1 or 2 months. And we're trying to figure out a way how we can plan for a new building there, a building similar to this, the cheapest way we can do that. And so that's part of what that is, but also to continue to train leaders, to continue to make sure that we get Sandusky launched. We already have the property. We're making adjustments. Really, we're creating more space within that building right now, just stuff that we're doing on our own. Luke is leading that team to make all that happen. And so it's exciting to see what God's doing. You should have received another one of these cards. These are just, this is the thing that we'll be asking you to fill out next Sunday or bring filled out. It's just a reminder. We don't want you to fill it out today necessarily. We just want you to pray about what God may have you to do. And that is designed to be over and above regular giving. I'll talk about that in a moment, but we plan to collect those cards next week during our service. We do these, you know, a couple of these every decade, and I think this time maybe we'll collect them publicly. I mean, you know, it's private, but have people come up and put them in. We're still figuring all that out. But last week, we were talking about what the Bible teaches about giving, and we were doing that in the context. We reviewed how that's always been God's plan through history, that his people have contributed to his work financially. And then we took the snapshot of Paul, who is writing a letter to the church in Corinth, and he was talking to them about giving. His first letter, he talked about they should be doing that every Sunday, setting aside a sum of money in 1 Corinthians 16. And then in 2 Corinthians, a later letter to the Corinthians, he wrote in more about that gift, and he was talking to them about, hey, be encouraged, look what the churches of Macedonia have done. And the churches of Macedonia would be the church at, that's what we say, Thessalonica, but now I'm learning Thessaloniki, and Thessalonica, Berea, and also Philippi, and how they were impoverished churches that many times went through persecution, but they gave generously. They actually begged for the opportunity to give to help other believers. So that was cool. And then I said last week, hey, next week we actually have the Batonises that will be here. And here they are on the front row. I'm going to have them stand up. Stephanas and Magda Batonis. And if you saw our video at the very beginning of the service, you'll know that they serve in Greece. We have been partnered with them since 1993, really since the year I became a senior pastor. It's been a long time. You guys still look great. You're doing well. It's been a long time. We've partnered together. They run a CEF camp, a Child Evangelism Fellowship, a camp in Greece where they are allowed to share the gospel. If you might, I don't know if you caught it from the video, but Christianity is considered a sect, and most of the people there would say that they're Greek Orthodox, but not necessarily attend church or anything. And so they're in there and actually have seen a lot of open doors, even into public schools, which was kind of unheard of years ago. But Magna, you know, has gotten in there and sharing the true meaning of some of the holidays like Easter and Christmas and just cool stuff. And we're really excited about them. They're actually going to be, well, and another thing, Stephanas is actually a leader in a Baptist evangelical church in Thessaloniki. So it's just like it all comes together right here. They will be next hour in Tim's class. It's a combined adult class. If you want to go hear about their ministry, it's right across from the cafe behind the fountain, that room right there, and we'd love for you to have you there. That would be great. In our Bold Move campaign, our Fremont campus, there's three campuses, and they're giving, us and Tiffin are pretty much the same, but we give to slightly different things in our, and it's usually concerning our own campus's vision, but this next time, we're trying to help Tiffin campus. But here at Fremont, traditionally, we hold about 5% of our capital campaign contributions with the intention of dispersing them to other places around the world. And many of you know that we've done that. Recently, we bought some land in Thailand near the border for the refugees. We've helped build a church even on the other side. And that one church is, I said almost, you know, it's like 90% completed now. We just donated that money not that long ago. But we've also done that in Greece. We helped, if you saw the video, there were a couple of dorms, they might have pictures. These two dorms, we helped with that project. And now they have another project. It's a kind of a second story addition onto their center there. And that's one of those things that we would try to figure out as our campaign comes in, how to disperse those funds, feeling like we should share our blessings as we build with a capital campaign that we want to help other countries that are not as fortunate as we are, especially financially, is what I'm talking about, you know, to get them kind of over the hump as well. So we're excited about that. And again, so back to 2 Corinthians, a town that they're familiar with, Corinth, probably been there many times. So in 2 Corinthians, Paul's teaching, now in chapter 9, we were in chapter 8, we're continuing. And here's what Paul's teaching us. He's teaching us why we can be joyful in our giving to God. Why can we be joyful as we bring in gifts? Or why should we be? Why can, because it can easily become kind of a chore. You can feel obligated or, you know, just, oh man, a little overwhelming. Why we are joyful in our giving to God? Well, and he's going to break it down. Four reasons in this passage that we're going through, starting with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. First of all, we're joyful because when we're generous, we know that God will bless us generously. When we're generous, we know God will bless us generously. And that's just what he's saying as he's writing this church in Corinth, reminding them of their gift and making arrangements for that. He says this, "Now I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." I know that sounds a little strange to us. He's not really telling them how to farm. Sowing is planting. He's not giving them farmer advice, right? Right? Sometimes, Stephanos, they do not react to me. It's kind of sad. Boy, last week was a real downer. But anyway, we're working it up. All right, we've got a full house. He's not talking about, he's referring to farming, but that's not his point, right? And we can see that as we go through the rest of this chapter. What's he talking about? He's saying, hey, he's using a farming type analogy to talk about giving in the church, exactly what we're talking about. If a farmer plants a small amount of seed, then he'll expect a smaller harvest. If he plants a lot of seed, he'll expect a larger harvest, a bigger crop. Paul's saying God blesses financially those who give generously. And so we're careful on this because there are a lot of churches that teach what we would call the word of faith movement or prosperity theology. And that's where they would say, you know, bring in your seed gift, bring in this, bring in that, and God will give you money back. And although there's a kernel of truth there, it's really approaching this from the exact wrong way. The prosperity theology, we reject that because it uses God and his spirit for whatever the believer wants. Yeah, I'm going to give this because I need money, because I want this and I want that. That's not in the spirit of what Paul's talking about. The Bible teaches we don't use God. The Bible teaches God uses us, and the spirit enables us to do God's will. And so because we reject that bad theology, we want to make sure that we don't overlook the fact that God is telling us something here, that's even a promise. He will bless us. And so he's not saying he wants every believer to be rich. It's not what God's saying. And what we know is, you know, we should not love money. We shouldn't be seeking that all the time. We cannot serve God in money, he's already told us. And he's teaching us not to give with this motivation to become rich, is what he teaches through Scripture. And here, just reminding us, hey, when we give generously to God, what have I been saying? We can't outgive God. We can't outgive God in any way. So, but we are told that as we give through church, he'll bless. And we just need to remember that. Now, he reinforces that. Actually, Jesus reinforced that. Back in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Here's what Jesus said during his ministry. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Here's God saying, hey, as you're generous, God's going to work it out that people are generous to you, that you're going to get back. You can't outgive God. God makes a way for things to come back to us if we're faithful and following him. And again, it's an image here. He's talking about this grain pressed down, shaken together. You know, back then they would buy grain. They wore these kind of long flowing robes, and in a fold of their robe is where they would sometimes hold grain. But whether they were doing that or like in a bushel, they would kind of shake it down, which would lower it, and press it and put more in, shake it down, put more in, shake it down, press it down, put more in until it was completely full. Container or fold of the garment to make that happen. Just, it will come back to you abundantly is what God is saying. And so we give joyfully because when we're generous, we understand that God will bless us generously, number one. Number two, we're joyful because we give voluntarily from the heart, not under pressure. So if you're sitting here and you're feeling, oh man, we're doing this campaign, you know, I'm feeling all this financial pressure, you know, what am I going to do? That is not how God wants you to give. You should not give that way. Don't give because you're pressured to give. And here's what he says, continuing to the next verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He's talking about, you know, we should give joyfully, not pressured. It's voluntary. It's from our heart, and we should take joy in that. We've talked about, you know, this campaign. We don't want anybody to feel pressured. Do not feel that you need to give an amount that will pressure. We want everybody to be involved, but you could be involved in $1. You know, we want you to give without being pressured. In the New Testament, giving is sort of less transactional and more transformational. It's not so much that we're giving and we're trying to look to see how God will bless us financially. It's more that our hearts have been changed. We've been changed from the inside out. And out of gratitude, we want to give back voluntarily, joyfully. That's our motivation. And if you struggle with this, you know, maybe you could just ask God to develop a grow joy in your life for giving. God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give reluctantly or under pressure. Now, this whole thing, you know, we're talking about this campaign, and this is over and above what people normally give, with not counting EO3, that would be separate. And some of you are new here. Some of you haven't been Christians all that long. And it's a little freaky because you're saying, okay, this is a commitment card. Heavy word, right? Commitment card. I'm going to sign this commit. What if something happens? You know, what if it doesn't go the way I planned? Well, just to let you know, in the history of our church, I've only been here 30-something years, but we've never gone back to somebody and said, hey, you know, this can't, like EO3 is ending today. Completely. I mean, we've been ending it, but today it's over. Bold move is next Sunday. And we've never gone to somebody and said, hey, Kevin, I've done the math here, and actually over the last 3 years, you said you were going to give X amount of dollars, and you're about $1,000 short. We've never done that. So if, like, for example, right now, what we always do, if you made an EO3 pledge, some of you don't even remember what the pledge was. But if you've made a pledge, and we're saying it's over now. So if you're behind or you didn't get caught up or something happened or you just forgot about, no obligation. You're free. I set you free. You know, be free. Have joy. You don't owe, you know, don't feel bad about that. That it's done. We're okay. We accomplished exactly what we said we would do through your giving. We're totally transparent how God has blessed in the three areas that you gave to. Have all been done. We're still launching, but we've already bought the building in Sandusky. and trained the leaders, built the children's areas. We've done all this, so don't feel pressured. That's the way we all do. We don't track it like that. What we do with this card is we're just asking you what your plan is. What do you think you'll be doing over the next 3, or in this case, 4 years? What do you think you can give? What are you kind of planning on giving? Seriously, not just, oh, well, if I hit the lottery, I'll do this. That's not what I'm talking about. No, right now, according to how God has blessed you now, what do you plan to give? And why we're asking is that helps us plan. Because when you talk about building buildings, it takes a year to build a building. So we're trying to figure it all out to know when can we start this building, because we know we need it. We're going to be, you know, we're just making room. And so we're going to start it as soon as we can, you know, because of that upfront gifts help and different things. But just when people turn in cards, it just tells us, okay, here's what we can expect. And maybe it'll be, oh, we can't do it yet. We're going to have to wait. You know, however the Spirit leads all of us, however God leads us, that's what we'll do. So we're just trying to make, we're trying to stay ahead of this. We're not staying ahead, we're behind. But we're trying to stay ahead of this growth that God has given us. And just like people have made sacrifices in the past to build this, when our church was only 600, we built a 1,000-seat auditorium. Then we went to 2 services, then 3 services, Lodge Tiffin, went back to 2. This is what we're trying to take care of. And so anyway, we did those again. EO3 is over. I should have said this earlier. Children's space is done. Training the 20 leaders done. Launching fourth campus. And let me just stop right here and say thank you. If you gave to EO3, thank you. We've used that money and we did exactly what we said we would do, and God has blessed. Thank you. And if you didn't give to EO3, but you supported our church over these last 3 years, thank you. Because it's not just capital money. We have to run. We have to operate as a church. So thank you if you've given. Thank you if you've served. Thank you if you've prayed for us. God has blessed. So I need to talk about a little mechanical thing before we move on in the text. A lot of us are giving electronically. It's the best way to give. It just happens automatically. You don't have to worry about it. I talked about, you know, last week, where back in the day when I was using these things called checks that you would write up a piece of paper, and, you know, it would be like, okay, I missed a couple of weeks. You know, I'm doing math to figure out how do I catch up. And then in January or December, I'm always going back to figure it out. That's what Pam and I did. But now electronic giving, super easy. But here's what I need to let you know. If you are currently giving to EO3, we're going to ask you to change that to Bold Move next Sunday. But I'm just telling you, if you don't change it, then that whatever you're giving to EO3 will go into Bold Move now. It's just the other name for our capital campaign. Does that make sense? And your EO3, let's say that you were giving $100, you know, to the church and $100 to EO3. Well, when we're asking for commitments over and above next week, we're only talking about over and above your commitment to the church. The EO3 has been erased. Does that make sense? So let's say you were giving $100 to church, $100 to EO3, and then you wanted to give, hey, but for Bold Move, I want to give $120. What we want you to do is just, okay, then that's a $120 commitment because the EO3 is gone. Does that all make sense? It's not on top of EO3. It's just on top of your regular giving. I don't know if I'm explaining that right, but I feel like I had to cover that before next week. Are you with me? All right, okay, you're with me, so I don't need to explain that anymore. All right. Just what you plan to do. Another thing I want to cover. There's an option to put your name on the card. We've never made a big deal about this, your name. But putting your name on the card actually helps in a lot of ways. Next year, some of our campuses have already been doing this, sending out quarterly reports. Here's how you're doing. You know, just right now we send out a year in so you can use it for your taxes. But next, this year, we're going to start sending out a quarterly report. If you put your name on it, and if your name is on the card, then what we'll give is you're going to get a computer, electronic, you know, mail that's going to tell you where you're at. And if you had an EO3 pledge, on the bottom of that will be a little graph going, here's how you're doing on your pledge, a reminder. Because a lot of people, you don't even remember what you pledged 3 years ago. So this will remind you, oh, this is what I pledge, and here's where I'm at. All confidential, but that'll be sent. So that's a way that our financial department, which is David Lee and Rhonda Montgomery, that's how they help serve you in doing that to get that confidential information. And all your giving and your plan to give, all that's considered confidential. And why is it confidential? Well, because of a teaching of Jesus. Matthew 6, starting about in the middle of first versary, it says this. He says, he's talking about giving, and he says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. So we don't give for human praise. We want to give with a pure heart before God. We don't want to give like in front of everybody where it's like, hey, look at me. You know, we want to do it the way God wants. And that is that it's just a kind of a private act of love and gratitude. It's not an obligation, just an act of love and gratitude. It's just telling us what you think you'll do, just helps us plan so we're not always behind the curve and could get kind of ahead of it. So far, here's what we learned. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We can be joyful in our giving because, number one, we know God will bless. Number two, because we know, hey, we're not told we have to do this. It's not compulsion. It's from our heart. It's what we willingly want to do. So we can be joyful. And then third, we're also joyful because, now check this out, we give confidently, trusting God will supply our every need, and not only that, that he'll supply for more generous giving in the future. So you're probably going, I don't think that's in there. Well, let's look and see if that's in there, because we only teach the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 8. And next verse, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, say everything you need, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, continuing in verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Okay, that's good. Verse 11, you will be enriched in everything for all liberality. We're going to explain that in a minute. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. So this last verse is key. That's what I'm talking about here. But the word liberality is not a word we use anymore. And so it basically just means liberality. Giving with liberality is just giving generously, abundantly, bountifully. Other translations, for example, the CSB says, you'll be enriched in every way for all generosity instead of liberality. The ESV says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. What he's saying is when we're generous when we give, God will meet our needs, but he will also give back to us in such a way that we will be able to continue to be generous to him. That's what he's saying. It promises not that we'll get rich, but that God will meet our needs as we give. And not only that, God will also give us everything we need to continue to be generous. God blesses financially not for us to store, but for us to give. Now, I've seen this in my life, and sometimes I use a real simple illustration. And you'll think it's silly, but hey, it's part of my life. When I was in third grade, I was in a Navy, living on a Navy base, you know, in Rhode Island. My mom had gotten saved about three or four years before that on a Navy base in California. And then we moved from there to Pensacola and then to Rhode Island. And so I'm in Rhode Island, and I remember this, a snapshot of my life where mom started taking us to church because she became a believer. And then for a short time in our life, we were doing chores and she gave us an allowance. And I got a $1 a week. I mean, I was living high. And the thing about me that you may not understand, when I was in third grade, I was single. I didn't have a wife, and I lived with my parents. So my expenses were pretty low. And I had been to church, and I had heard a little bit about giving in our Sunday school class. And so when mom was giving me my allowance on the weekend, I said, "Hey, mom, can you give me my allowance in quarters? Instead of a dollar bill, can you give me 4 quarters? And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, because I want to give one of the quarters when I go to Sunday school to the church." And she goes, "Okay, well, I'll give you some money to give to the offering at church." And I said, "No, I want to give it." And she said, "Okay." And then she said, "From now on, your offering is your allowance is $1.25. So I'm scratching my head on that one, right? Because that's very similar to her giving me allowance and her paying for the offering. So I'm like, "Okay, you're giving me $1.25. She goes, "Yeah, the $1.25 is yours. Do with it as you will." But I feel like, hold it, this feels like I'm not giving. It feels like my mom's giving. Nothing's changed. Everything I have is from God. Everything you have is from God. God's not asking for us to give all of it back. I'm thankful for that. But just a portion, just a percentage. It's the same thing. And so I was able to learn that lesson early, and I'm thankful for it. Here's what Jesus taught. You know, he taught this in Matthew 6. You know, don't worry about your material needs. Work hard. I mean, we're going to do a whole series on work. I mean, God tells us to work. Work. So do what God says. Seek him first, and God's going to take care of everything else. Seek first God's kingdom. He'll provide. So if you're keeping track here, we've been through three. We've got one more to go. I'm going to kick it up a little bit. We're joyful because, number one, we know, hey, God will bless. Two, it's from our heart. Three, we know that he'll meet our needs. But more than that, he'll bless us in a way that we will be able to continue to be able to give generously that we just covered. And then last, one more thing Paul teaches here. He says we're joyful because we can give worshipfully. We can give as worship, knowing giving generously results in thanksgiving to God, and it also glorifies God in our own hearts. It results in thanksgiving, the people who benefit from that giving, but also it glorifies God in our heart. We give worshipfully. We see that in the next few verses. Next verse is verse 12. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supporting the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, what's the ministry? They're contributing. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they, the people that receive it, will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality or generosity of your contribution to them and to all, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you or long for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. It just creates thanksgiving all around. Our giving is proof of our obedience to the gospel. But once we give it, you know, we watched a testimony last week, and the person was saying, you know, thank you that you made a place for me to come and find God. Hold on, I don't know if we showed that yet. Maybe we did. I can't remember. I'm a little confused. So when we give to help people in need, which we do regularly around the world, people who are actually in need, or we give to make room for people to hear the gospel, which addresses everybody's biggest need, it results in people thanking God and praising him. Paul closes this chapter in verse 15. Next verse, he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's Jesus. That's the truth that we want everyone to discover about Jesus and then make a decision regarding him. That's the gospel that was just mentioned a couple of verses ago. Gospel just means good news. The good news is that even though God created us and we've all sinned against him with our own will, there's bad news before that, and that is that God, a righteous, holy God, says sin must be punished. And the punishment is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. But God still loves us, and so God, without violating his justice, his character, his holiness, and his righteousness, allows his one and only son, Jesus, to come to earth, clothe himself as a human being, walk this planet with never sinning, never committing a sin, and therefore being the only one qualified to give up his life and die for us and pay for our sins. That's the good news. And the way we receive that is just by turning to God. It's called repentance, changing our mind about the way we think about God, which then changes our life. We demonstrate change is the way we see it in the deeds. We discover truth. Hey, this is the reality, the gospel. We then make a decision, hopefully, to decide on Jesus, putting your faith, your trust in Christ alone. Nobody else or nothing else, no church, no anything, just Jesus. And if that's true in our life, we'll demonstrate change from the inside out, and we'll deploy for others. That's what we want for everyone. That's our purpose. That's why we exist as a church. That's what we've been doing since 1939. This message has not changed. Our culture has changed. Our style has changed. Anybody notice that? Anybody been here long? Our style's changed. Our message has not changed, will not change. It's all we got, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to spread around the world, but it also starts right here. Somehow, God is giving us traction, and people are coming, and you're praying and inviting your friends and talking to your friends and your family, and people are coming, and our church is growing and growing and growing. And all we're doing is sharing a 2,000-year-old message. It's changing people's lives. Thank you for being part of that. And if you're here and you're just kind of listening in, sitting at the kitchen table, not part of the family yet, and you're not a believer, forget everything else you heard. Just stick to that last part, the gospel. God loves you, and he loves you with action by allowing his son to come and die on the cross to pay for your personal sins, just like he did me. But you have to turn to him in faith. You have to cry out to him, asking for forgiveness and knowing it's only possible because what Jesus has done. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for every person that's here. Lord, we don't know what's going to happen next week. But first of all, we want to make sure that if anybody is here that's not a believer, which is surely true, we know there are people here who aren't believers. First of all, Lord, we would ask your Spirit to impact their heart, help them to realize they have a need, help them to understand truth and your love for them, no matter who they are. And we pray as a church family that they would turn to you. Father, for the rest of us, we ask that you give us wisdom. Give us wisdom in just finances in general. Give our church wisdom that we're using every resource for maximum impact. We're not wasting anything. And then we'd ask to stir in our hearts to do what you'd have us to do. We think we know what that is. We'll find out, I guess, next week. Lord, thanks for loving us. You're everything. And Lord, we can see that you're going to do this again. Help us just know how we can cooperate to make that happen, what you're doing in history. In Christ's name, amen.